Praise God, it's good to be here, isn't it? I didn't know if Reed was leading the singing or what, but I was going to ask him before he started if I could just share something. And you know, in the New Testament, when they were talking about order in the church, it said if somebody has something, even if someone's speaking, you could actually say, wait a second, I believe I have something from the Lord. You know, I think too, there's a growing desire in the body of Christ, no matter where it's at, is to be led of the Lord, to be sensitive to his leading, what he's saying, what he's doing, hear his voice, and move according to that. Because when we do that, we're actually moving in Christ. He's the head of the church. We're members in particular. He placed the gifts in the body as it pleased him. And those gifts are to operate within the body of Christ. Now, they do operate in some measure out there in front of the world. We're the light of the world, and that is very important. That's part of the gospel. We are still the light of the world. But even when we come in here, I think we all want to be led of the Lord to the point to where, if the Lord, even if he does something different, it's not that big of a shock, because Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. He's the head of the church. And, I just want to share something. I'm up here, I don't want to just talk, I want to share something and ask the Lord to please give me a liberty to express what I want to express through him. You know, none of us can do anything. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can have a huge gift and be null and void without the help of Jesus Christ. Small gift. It doesn't matter. They're all important. And the Lord is the one that operates in his body. In whatever measure and in whichever way he chooses. I was going to share this. The past few years, our family has celebrated Passover. And I can't remember why we started it. Other than it's kind of like an ordinance or a commemoration. But there's something that struck me yesterday, and that's why I'm up here. There's different truths, and even, you know, there's ordinances that are observed, and they're to be observed because the Lord blesses those and commands those. There's the ordinance of baptism. Do you know when someone gets baptized in faith, you know, they are sealed by the Spirit of the living God? They're raised from the dead spiritually in Christ. So is baptism important? Yeah. Now, is it important that a person has a certain feeling when they go down and come back up? No. Many times there's almost nothing, and the devil hops on that person and says, "You ain't nothing happened to you. You're no different." That's a lie. That's a lie, because Jesus said, if you move in faith, I'll bless you. That is a fact. Anyway, you know, what it is a Passover meal. What really gets to me is how closely related it is to the Last Supper, which the Lord was celebrating when he broke the bread and gave him the wine. What it was about is, well, first of all, you know, everybody knows a story where God called Moses and go down to Egypt. You go down to Egypt, and the Lord had heard the cries of the people in bondage. Do you know we're all in bondage? We all need to be set free. And Israel, a lot of times, is just symbolic of God's people. They need to be delivered. We need deliverance. But you know what? There's somebody who is still a deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ. He's still alive. He's worthy to be praised. You know, anyway, the Lord told Moses that, "I've heard the cries of these people. They're enslaved. The whips are on their back. And it's time. Go down there." And he told them what to do. You know, Moses had a relationship with God, to where God talked to him like his friend. You know, that's actually for us in the new covenant. The Lord can communicate with us and tell us to go over here or go over there. We may not be all called to preach. Most of us are not. But that's got nothing to do with it. Being sealed by his Spirit and being led by him is part of the gospel. And it is personal. Yes. You can be a 97-year-old woman bound over with arthritis. You have the power of God in you. Or a child. And everything in between. Anyway, the Lord told Moses, "You're going to go down there." He said, Pharaoh's got a hard heart, but I'm going to break him. And Israel is going to be set free. And so they go down there. This relates to the Passover meal. Moses goes down there, as everybody knows, and he confronts Pharaoh and tells him it's time to let the people go. And he's like, are you serious? I'm not letting them go. And you know, he begins this process of denying Moses' request and actually what God's going to do. He has no fear of God. He's not going to let the people go. But in the traditional Jewish Passover meal, what they talk about is that you're not to gloat over the downfall of your enemies, and that's in Proverbs. And so as a tradition, what they would do is read each one of the plagues. Now, I'm not Jonathan Kahn. I wasn't born Jewish. But I talked to Jonathan Doten back there. You know, he's actually got Jewish blood in him. He's a Jew inwardly and outwardly. Yeah. You know, what's important is the inward part. And the symbolism we see in Israel is it's reflective of, listen, we are of Israel. We are God's family. And he died to set us free. Anyway, the plagues are read in order as you go, and it's showing the different means by which God used to break Pharaoh, but not only that, how thorough was their bondage? They were in deep bondage. And the man that held them in bondage was not going to let them go. Okay, and so it was Caitlin and Michael, their family's coming over. And we're going to celebrate Passover, and what you do is the head of the house is the one that reads everything off, you know, but it's important in our homes. Do you know if the man's the head of the house, he's responsible to help lead his family. And Passover meals were done in the home. It's just like communion, and when you read about them having an act at it in homes, and a lot of times communion was observed in the home. It was an act of faith, and it was to remember who and what Jesus did for us. The same thing as with Passover. Anyway, let me get to the point. I was sitting there going through my literature so I wouldn't mess up while I was reading. You know, I'm going over it. And something struck me just completely out of the blue, and I was not expecting it. It was the fact that out of all those plagues, what was the plague that God used as a catalyst to set them free? It was death. It could have been the darkness in the land that was so dark that you could feel it. That would have been scary. The hailstorm that was the greatest in history would have been enough. You know, God even hardened Pharaoh's heart. But he did it to show his glory. God, when he does something, it's so much deeper and bigger than we can imagine that it's almost even like an ordinance. You participate in not knowing everything about it, and yet God can make real to you what needs to be made real to you. Everything he does is big. Even the small things are big. So, you know, I was reading it and I was thinking, gosh, that's something else. And how closely death is important. And the main thing, there is a death, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Reed was up here a while ago, he mentioned God, the Lord dying and his resurrection. Anyway, I'm reading through this, back to the meal, we're reading about it. This is the thought here too. Do you remember what they did on Passover, on that night? What they were to do? Well, it was actually before that night, 2 weeks before the death angel was going to come into Egypt and strike down the firstborn animals and people. They were to take a lamb into their home. It was a lamb or a goat. They had a couple of options on that. But you know, Jesus is still the Lamb of God. Remember, Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. He was getting ready to give himself a spotless lamb. It's just incredible what he was going to do. And he's celebrating this Passover meal that Moses told him to celebrate. They're observing it. Anyway, they took that lamb into their home 2 weeks before Passover. You know, a lot of us have pets, you know, and a lot of us love animals. A lamb is the most innocent, almost animal, you know, that exists. It's innocent, it's sweet, it's kind, it's harmless. That lamb stayed in that home for 2 weeks, and that whole family was in there with that lamb. Can you imagine, because what the thing they were supposed to do, was that night when that death angel was coming through, they were to sacrifice that lamb. And you think about that. The kids and everybody, that was kind of a, it had to be sad. That little lamb they had in there was going to die. Well, they sacrificed the lamb. And what the Lord told Moses, told them to do, there's a death angel going to come through here. You sacrifice the lamb, and you put blood over the top of the door and the sides of the door, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
The bondage that those people had gone through for so many generations, it's almost symbolic of the bondage of sin in our lives and this human nature that we have. It is bondage, is it not? And have you found out as a Christian, you still encounter and are affected by this nasty flesh? How bad is it? How bad is this flesh? It's so bad that even the most dedicated Christian will have to die and go by way of the grave until Jesus Christ comes, because this nature is cursed. It is exceedingly sinful. It wants sin. It likes sin. Even as the Lord puts His Spirit in your heart and makes you a new creature, there's part of you that is still against the kingdom of God. That's why we have to have resurrection life. And that's why if we pass before the Lord comes, it said that the corrupt will be raised incorruptible. Aren't you glad of that? Thank God for the sacrifice and the resurrection. Thank God for His life. But anyway, you know, that blood was put on the doorpost. And when that death angel came through, when he saw that blood, he went right past that house. We all have to die. But I tell you what, what's it referred to as the second death? There's a judgment coming, right? The blood applied, we have complete safety and salvation in Jesus Christ. Complete safety. I'm so glad for what Jesus Christ did. I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful that, I guess, I'm going to say this, I'm not going to be up here much longer, but it was in reading over those plagues and that observance that I thought about what we refer to as communion. And the fact the Lord told us to do that. He Himself told us to do that. Paul talked about and told us to do that. It was in the observation of that little thing that we were doing that it's like a light bulb came on. Is it true that when we are obedient to the Lord, even in that type of thing, that He may have something a little more for us to cause us to remember? And, you know, even in the case of the Passover and the Passover meal, which, again, Jesus was celebrating when they were up there in that room. You know, each generation has to have truth. And when you're not born into that, it's like these beautiful young people here. You know what? There's things they haven't heard. But we once were young, too. But if the purpose of those of observing those things is so that you don't forget. Not only the ones who already know it, it's a remembrance of it, but it's also to be able to explain to the younger generation what's going on. And that's one of the reasons He told us to observe communion. It's His broken body that was broken for us that we partake of. It's His blood. And just as Israel was saved that night, we are saved eternally through what Jesus Christ did for us. And He wants us, I tell you, as Christian, I don't think a Christian can forget it. But He wants to bring it back to our remembrance afresh. For some reason, He said to do that. I guess in some way that was on my heart, because we were talking about the other night at the men's meeting, the need to maybe observe this more readily than what we do for a specific reason. Amen. It's reason enough if Jesus said to do it. You remember He was up there in that room, and He broke the bread, and He told them, "This is My body, broken for you." Yes. And he drank the wine. He told them the same thing: "Drink this, and when you drink this, remember, do this in remembrance of Me." You know, and I want you to do that. I'm going to read from this is Paul. If I can find it here. This is 1 Corinthians 11, and this is Paul talking to the Corinthians because they had all kind of issues and problems, like many of us do, but they were still the body of Christ. You know, that's another thing, too. You can't wait, and, you know, it talks about drinking of the bread and drinking the cup unworthily. You know, is there anybody worthy to claim Jesus Christ? None of us are. But it's in repentance when we come to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Like the guy in the temple. That's what qualifies you, is Lord, you alone can make me righteous. It's not about deserving it. If you wait until you partake of that cup or that bread, if you wait until you're worthy, you'll never partake of it. Jesus has made us worthy. Okay, verse 23. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. And then Paul adds this, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Now, that's important. You're announcing the Lord's death, and it's not just his death, it's the importance and the significance of his death. Remember when that lamb was brought into that home, and those people's home, kids and everybody, that was personal. It touched their emotions. God's bigger than emotions, but he wants to touch our heart. He wants to touch our heart. That's what needs to be, not just touch, changed. But it's an observation and remembrance of him and what he's done for us in whatever way he tells us to do that brings on a greater reality of who he is. I know this is not rocket science or anything new, but it's on my heart. And that's why I shared it. Because I believe that the Lord wants to lead us in areas where we just need to be led this way or that way. Is he not able? If he's the head of the church, he is able. And it might come in the most unlikely time to the most unlikely candidate. It does not matter. He is the center of all things. I was thinking even, I didn't know who was going to lead the worship service. You know, the whole purpose of worship is to get our eyes on Christ. Every key that's exercised goes right to Christ. Fellowship, praise, prayer. It's all centered in Jesus Christ. You know, it also talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, in Revelation 19. And what is? But you remember Jesus? He told them when he gave them the cup and the bread. He said, "I won't eat of this again until the kingdom comes." But one day he will, and he tells us to eat of it until that day. Why did he do that? That's his business. It's right, whatever it is. Can you imagine that supper? I can't imagine that. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's so worthy to be praised. Our salvation is deep. It is thorough. It is a rock. Thank God for his faithfulness. Aren't you glad that salvation comes by some way other than you? Any salvation that comes by any way other than Christ is not salvation. Salvation is you are saved. You are rescued from the miry clay. You are rescued from hell itself through Jesus Christ. I tell you, he went deep when he died. And he saw every one of us. You know, when you see people, how do you think the Lord feels when he looks down on the earth and sees people? I think his heart, he's still not willing that any should perish. The heart of God looks and sees faces. He sees hearts. And he reaches out. He reaches out. That's why Jesus came here. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He came. He walked here. And he died. And he was raised from the dead. Yes, amen. And he clothes us with the same power and seals us by his spirit. Yes. That is the good news, and that is salvation. Isn't that a wonderful salvation? I don't deserve it. I'm going to tell you this. I've said it before, but I will say it again. The more I go along, I'm astounded at how badly I need salvation. And it's not just from the time the Lord first worked in my heart. I'm astounded at just how bad this flesh is. I mean, I should have already known that. Oh, but it becomes a clearer revelation. I don't know how many people I've talked to that have served the Lord for any number of years. They say, it becomes clearer and clearer how much I need Jesus. And they're walking with God. That's why they can say that. You see your unworthiness, but at the same time, we see His worthiness. That's why He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's an exceptional, wonderful, precious Savior who is worthy of all praise for all eternity. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I praise Him, and I thank Him, and I thank Him that He's given us truth, truth to walk in, and also that we can remember who our Savior really is. And in the reality, we can serve Him. Amen? That's all I have.
But I was thinking of a song there. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away, never to be remembered anymore. I was reading this week, and actually, I just want to read this before we go any further. It says, "Then I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll with the writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. But then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And when He had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the people. And they sang a new song." This is what stuck out to me. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because You were slain. He was slain for each one of us. And with Your blood, You purchased men for God, from every tribe, language, and people, and nation. And You have made them to be a kingdom and a priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels." We can hear them today singing, of numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. "They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and they fell down and worshiped." I'll tell you what, the Lord has accomplished. His work is done. He is worthy to be praised, but He is still calling out today to those who will humble themselves under His mighty hand. That blood can be applied to your heart today if it isn't. Praise God.